This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Seems like the more we learn about chimps, the more they seem a lot like us. You know, it used to be that we humans thought we were special because we used tools. Well, then back in 1960, Jane Goodall saw a chimp use a long stick to fish for termites. And then last month, a study in Nature reemphasized that chimps, like people, can be violent. And now we have a new study out in PLOS Biology that says the humans and chimps might have one more thing in common, the ability to learn from one another. Catherine Hobater is one of the authors of that study. She's a lecturer in psychology and neuroscience at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. And she was out in Uganda's Budongo Forest where she spotted this new chimp behavior. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us, what did you see those chimps doing that got your attention?
Well, chimps, funnily enough, despite the fact they're in a rainforest, actually don't have very much water around, and most of it's trapped in these small holes. So all kinds of different chimp groups make sponges. They fold up leaves and pop them into the little holes with their hand, and then they can put it in their mouth to drink the water from it. But on this day, I was watching our usual chimp group, and some of them were coming and leaf sponging. And our alpha male, Nick, turned up, and he started to do the same thing. But instead of using leaves, he actually used moss. And I'd never seen anything quite like that before.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting part about it is not that only did that chimp use moss, but other chimps around him started using moss?
Absolutely. So I think, yeah, what got me super excited was that the female that was with him at the time, shortly afterwards, she sort of climbed up and did exactly the same thing. Instead of making a leaf sponge, she made a moss sponge. And over the next few days, we could just watch this new behavior spread through the group. I mean, it was incredibly simple in the end. If you saw somebody else do the moss sponging, then you did it. And if you didn't see it, you didn't. And we could actually demonstrate for the first time in the field that the chimps were able to learn this new behavior socially from each other.
No chimp hit himself on the head and said, oh, why didn't I think of that?
Not that we've seen, but maybe.
As you say, this is the first time this was seen in the wild, but you have seen it in captivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really the last sort of link in the chain that's eroding away this idea that social learning might be something that's special about humans. So there's been these amazing experiments in captivity that for years have demonstrated that one chimp would learn a particular way to open a box and a different chimp would learn a different way, and then they would see how those different experimental strategies would spread through the group. But obviously we can't take boxes and things out to the rainforest, and we were incredibly lucky because usually out in the field you don't see these new behaviors emerge. This is the first time we've ever seen anything like it at our site.
But how do you know that the chimps were learning about the new tool from each other and they were not figuring this out on their own?
So it's a great question, and really we lucked out doubly, because what happened was on this particular day at this particular waterhole, two different types of tool use emerged, two different new types. So there was the moss sponging, and then there was reusing somebody's old tool, which had also never been seen before in this group. And what we could do is watch how those two different behaviors got passed on over the next few days. And we really saw with the reusing of old sponges, it didn't matter. Different individuals would come. They'd never seen it done before, but they picked up the behavior anyway. And it could well be that they were just bumping into a lot of leaf sponges at this place. It was a really popular leaf sponging hole. Whereas with the moss, it didn't matter how many times you visited and how many times you sponged. You only would learn the moss sponging if you'd had the opportunity to really sit and watch somebody else do it. And a colleague of ours came up with an amazing sort of new statistical model that basically allowed us not just to say this is social learning, but to quantify it. So we could say every time that one chimp watches another chimp do the moss sponging, they're 15 times more likely to then go on and learn that behavior.
Does this study tell us anything about early human behavior?
It's always tricky. It certainly tells us that the ability to learn socially from each other is something that predates when chimpanzees and humans diverge. So early humans certainly must have had the ability to learn socially. And I think what was interesting to me is that you know, this wasn't a huge leap forward. You know, it's not like they picked up a straw and started sucking it out of the hole or something. This was, in some ways, a really small modification of their existing idea. So they went from leaf sponging to moss sponging. And that might give us some kind of insight into how early humans also, you know, modified the tools they were using. It might not have been the case, and well, it certainly isn't the case, that we went from stone tools to an iPhone. But these kind of small modifications of an existing idea might have been how we were able as humans to progress so quickly through our technological stages.
It's interesting you say small modifications. Does that mean perhaps that chimps also tinker around with their tools, trying to make them better?
It might well be. I mean, one of the really interesting questions that we're trying to sort of think about now is, why did the moss sponging spread but the reuse didn't? And, you know, maybe it happens relatively frequently that a chimp comes up with a slightly new way to do something, but for some reason, one reason or another, it just doesn't then spread through the group.
Have you ever thought about leaving out a real sponge out there by the watering hole and see what the chimps do with it?
We try really hard in our forest. So these are wild chimps, and what we really want to do is study their natural behavior. You know, it would be great if I could work, in a group in captivity and stand there with my morning coffee instead of getting out of bed at 4 a.m. in the morning and crawling through a swamp. But the reason that I do the rainforest work is to see what it is that they would do naturally so that we can ask these questions about evolution.
Now, does it matter which pecking order of chimp starts first with the new action?
That's a great question, because we think it might. We're not sure yet. There was a little bit of evidence from some of the captive work and some work with other species that if you're a high-ranking model, if you're a high-ranking individual doing the behavior, that other individuals might be more likely to pay attention to you. And in our case, the moss sponging was apparently innovated by our alpha male Nick and then picked up next by our dominant female Nambi, and then it spread through the group, whereas the reusing of an old sponge, it was some of the younger subadults and juveniles who were doing it. And it would probably make sense that if you're a chimp out there in the forest, that, you know, you might not pay attention if your little brother is tinkering around with his tools, but you might pay a lot more attention if one of the big dominant adults who possibly is a very successful tool user goes around and does it. It might be more worth paying attention to the higher ranking individual.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see chimps teaching other chimps how to use the moss sponge, or was it all just observation? I'm watching the other one, I can do that. No one says, hey, come on over here, I've got something new to show you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. No, you're right. It's just observation. And that really does seem to still be something of a difference between humans and other species. So there is almost no evidence, you know, a couple of little anecdotes for something like teaching. So, you know, it's not the case that a mother was moss sponging and then she'd kind of pick up the moss sponge and, you know, give it to her daughter or kind of modify her daughter's, you know, like, get rid of those leaves, let's use moss today, kind of sweetie. No, this was just one individual paying attention and really watching. And after, just through watching, just through observing, then picking up the new technique.
Mm-hmm. A study came out in Nature last month saying that chimps will sometimes kill other chimps. Could violence be another one of these behaviors that the chimps learn from each other?
That's interesting. You know, we know very little about what actually causes it. So our chimps were a part of that study too, and it's definitely the case that killing of other chimps happens. It's not a regular occurrence, but it is widespread in that almost all chimp groups have recorded this kind of behavior happening. Mm-hmm. But precisely for that reason, the fact that almost all chimps groups do this probably suggests that this isn't something that's learned socially or something cultural, because if it was, we'd expect differences between the group. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get a pacifist group or a group that learns to deal with their problems in other ways, but that's probably a biologically innate behavior, I would say.
Yeah, we have a video of chimps using the moss sponge at our website at sciencefriday.com. Uh-huh. And I bring that up because in one of your videos, a baby chimp grabs the moss sponge out of his mom's mouth. What's going on there?
Yeah. They get away with murder when they're young. So absolutely. If you are a little 2-year-old chimp, then you can go up to your mom or your big brother or sister and You know, sometimes it is just grabbing it out of their mouth. Sometimes, you know, they'll be a little more polite and beg a little bit first and ask nicely for it. Certainly once you get to the age of 3 or 4, that isn't really tolerated anymore. And you probably get a cuff around the ear and told to go make your own.
Have scientists observed the same kind of social learning in other high-level mammals or primates?
Yeah, so there was a paper out earlier this year looking at a very similar finding in humpback whales. And what they used, it's a version of their same analysis that we were able to do with the chimps. So they watched a particular kind of hunting technique, lobtail feeding, spread through different populations of these humpback whales. But the difficulty working with whales and working with a lot of these kind of wild populations is that it's very difficult to observe individuals. So you sort of have to, you know, draw a lot of hypothetical conclusions about who might have seen who or who might have hung out with who. You know, you'd assume a family group spends time together. Whereas where we are incredibly lucky with our group is because we've worked with these chimps for over 20 years now, they know us really well. So I can just potter about the forest with them. They go about their daily lives, and I can sit down and film the entire group really around me, which means we could actually really unpick who, not just who was with who, but actually who watched who, you know, who had their head in a hole or their back turned at any one particular observation.
Do you learn more out in the wild observing them, or do you learn more in bringing what you know back to the lab and experimenting with it?
Well, it's always tricky. I think you answer very different questions. So, you know, we know certainly from captivity what apes are capable of, and they're capable of some extraordinary things. You know, some of the sign language acquisition or the different techniques that they've learned, but that's not necessarily at all representative of what happens to them in the wild, and it's certainly not representative of what would have happened from the evolutionary kind of timeline. So if we want to know what they're capable of, we can do incredible experiments in captivity. But if we want to ask questions about evolution or the links to our own human kind of lineage, we really have to go out and see what it is that they do in the field.
Dr. Hobater, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Catherine Hobater is a lecturer in psychology and neuroscience at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. And as I say, you can watch videos of the chimps using that moss punch up at our website at sciencefriday.com.